Sorry, we are having just a little bit of a technical issue here this morning, and, you know, sometimes it happens. Every once in a while, you know, these are the things that happen. So let me try one more time. I think I might have it here. Nope. Okay, excellent. I love it when that's the case. I have this brand new computer that I absolutely adore that is fantastic, except for the one thing that every once in a while disappoints me is the way the audio works. And you might say, well, Andrew, that seems like sort of a critical function. And yes, it kind of is. That's kind of a critical function. But every once in a while, you know, every once in a while it lets me down. 437-1620, 437-1620. That's okay because we have a lot of other stuff besides the sound clips I was going to play. Today we have, lo and behold, a county commission meeting in Escambia County. I think it's like the third one all summer, which, by the way, is actually relatively normal. They don't have a lot of them throughout the course of the summer because people are out and kids and vacation and all that kind of stuff. There's actually a lot of big things on the agenda. The agenda itself is massive. I judge the size of an agenda because it's not really on pages so much, but I judge it by how long it takes me to scroll through it and see what's interesting. And I got halfway through and I'm like, oh, we're almost, oh my God, it's so long. Some of the things that are going to be of interest to you. Here's one. I expect this will be a big discussion tonight. And there's several big discussions tonight. You're going to have people showing up to the public forum because there haven't been many public forums. People who are upset about the direction of OLF-8. They're planning to show up tonight to talk about that. One of the actual scheduled items is they call them the public hearing. It's the 535. That means it's the fifth one. But because it's 531, 532, 533. 535, public hearing to consider the request for exemption from the Escambia Children's Trust. This is about the taxes. If you don't remember, the county discovered, I don't put any blame in any particular corner, just that the county discovered that $400,000 a year of taxes that had been for the last 3 years going to the Escambia Children's Trust. Remember, that's the organization that was created by us volunteering through a vote to raise our taxes in order to provide for things that benefit children in the effort of improving outcomes in education by making children have better education or after school or whatever along the way so that we get better results. And we try to fix some of this, what they call generational poverty stuff, through education in Escambia County. We volunteered to create the tax. We created the Escambia Children's Trust, who oversees those funds. Those funds are a tax on property value. Well, what was kind of realized 3 years in was that money that is really supposed to go into the CRA, the Community Redevelopment Agency, was going to the Escambia Children's Trust. It's complicated. It's math. It doesn't make for great radio. But the idea is that the way a CRA works is, let's say you have a building that is worth $400,000. And then over the course of time, let's say the next 10 years, it goes up in value to $800,000. The first $400,000 is existing value or base value. And a children's trust like ours is supposed to get the tax revenue on the $400,000, the first $400,000. But the CRA is supposed to get all of the tax revenue on the improved value. Or if you have new properties that show up in the CRA, that's new. Because the whole idea of a CRA is to create investment to increase value in an area. Instead of putting money into the county coffers, it puts it into the CRA, which then reinvests in the local area. So it's designed to specifically focus and leverage money to create more in a space. And the idea is that it gets the benefit of the taxes that are generated on that more to kind of feed the process that's already going. Well, the Children's Trust money is supposed to stay in the CRA as long as it's that percent that we created on top of the improved value or the increased value. And they had been getting that. And the county realized, uh-oh, we were doing this not right. And so they asked for the money back. Not super politely, but they did ask for the money back. $1.134 million. The Children's Trust responded and said, whoa, 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 whoa. One, this is important money that we're using for, you know, Children's Trust things. Two, the voters didn't vote to increase property taxes just for the CRA, they voted to increase property tax. We voted to increase property taxes in order to fund children's, you know, education. And now we're thwarting the will of the voters by taking this money and putting it back into more general money, even though it's CRA specific. And that's not what the public voted for. The public who lives in the CRAs, for example, didn't vote to create just more tax on themselves for non-educational value. They voted to create more tax for themselves for educational benefit. And so the CRA, or so the Escambia Children's Trust has now come to the county and said, you can give us an exemption. You can allow this money to go to us, but you have to decide to make that exemption. And there was kind of a what we can only describe as a pissing match the last time this came up, because Stephen Barry and who was and a couple of other commissioners were kind of annoyed with the Children's Trust about this, and how dare you, and this is our money. And the Children's Trust is like, no, it's really not. You know, the people didn't vote for this to be your money. They voted for this to be our money. No, we're going to. And then also clouding this issue is the idea that Children's Trust had not a great reputation for doing good things with their money in the first couple of years. And so the county commission was kind of taking the, not only is this our money, not your money, but we can do better with it than you can because you have shown a track record of not doing well with it. That's sort of neither here nor there, because certainly it changes in leadership. Like, you know, have Lindsay Cannon, who is the new director, and, you know, all evidence seems to be that she's doing a great job and is maybe fixing the problems and getting it off of, you know, not a great place. So this is going to be a big brouhaha today, I would expect, over where this money, this not only the $1.2 million or so that is from the past, but the $400,000 or so every year going forward that is subject to this issue. If you don't understand all the math, it's easy to not understand, okay? The sort of short takeaway is, do you think that the money that was raised by voting to create the Escambia Children's Trust should all go to the Escambia Children's Trust to help education, or should some go to the Escambia Children's Trust and some go to non-education-related things through the CRA? Now, another wrinkle, just so you're fully informed, is that the county has sort of halfway promised, and it might even be required by statute, this part I think was up for debate, that even if the money stays in the CRA, it still has to go for the purpose of helping children and education. So maybe it gets there anyway. Trust me, that's going to be a big conversation this morning. You also have the Warrenton Redevelopment Plan extension. That's the 548. That's the eighth public hearing. There's a lot, like I said. The short version of this is that this was created back in the 90s. In 1995, as a 30-year redevelopment plan for the Warrenton area. And it ends in December of 2025, unless they renew it, which means that it would go back out to 2055. So it would just extend back out for another 30 years, and Warrenton could keep on the path that it's kind of on. You also have a couple of, I would call them smaller items, but they're interesting. One is a resolution to change the lighting on the Chappie James Bridge for the month of September, and it would change it to gold in honor of National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. And then you have another one for October that would change it to the colors of teal and pink and green in support of Light Up BMC, which is to raise awareness of stage four metastatic. This says metastatic. I think it's metastatic, but the copy says metastatic. Breast cancer for October. So these are both requests of FDOT that they put in a different light scheme for the month. I'm not sure which one of these is at the sort of full month level. The one is for the month and the one is for a day. The one that would be multiple colors, green, pink, and teal, would be for October 13th. The other one is for the entire month. We could have, you know, good conversation about which issues, which color schemes for, you know, for how long. But personal vote, anything but cop car lights. Because though I dearly love the colors of our flag and our country, every time I drive the bridge, the only thing I think is, egads, there's 10 cops up there. And because from the driver's point of view, that's what it looks like. And in and of itself, not necessarily a bad thing, but it's very distracting when you're coming from Gulf Breeze and you make the little turn and you see the lights for the first time. And you're like, oh God, a horrible wreck. Or whatever you think, because that's what it looks like right now. So I'm sort of the opinion that anything but that might, just at least for a change, might be a good thing. Other big issues today, you've got $10 million of bad debt changing into accounting status for EMS. We're going to talk to Eric Gilmore, the Director of Public Safety, later on this morning, 6:35, about that and other matters. Key thing about this is the one that Stephen Barry wanted to put off of the public discussion because he thinks it's embarrassing and it makes them look bad. I actually don't think it makes the county look bad. It's just an effort to collect debt that you have to send off to a different process because you can't collect it all. And I don't think our percentage is all that far out of line with anybody else's percentage. It just sounds like we're losing $10 million a year, even though we're not. It's uncollected bad debt that it would be hard for anybody to collect. So that's going to be a conversation this morning. The big one, the one that's going to probably catch the most attention, and certainly I'll talk about this more extensively later on in the show, is the effort to settle the legal fees around the Burgosh Textcapade case. Because remember, the judge ruled with prejudice that the county did not have any legal standing in this fight, that it was all a matter of personal benefit for Commissioner Burgosh. And so, therefore, all of the legal fees surrounding this would be, you know, they have to be paid by the county, including the defendants like the P&J and Alex Arduini and Jonathan Owens. And the judge ruled that this was a slap case, that there was a strategic lawsuit against public participation, meaning that this was done in order to silence the First Amendment among the defendants and that there may be penalties to be coming. Okay, so none of this has been decided by the judge. I mean, the first part has been decided, but the amounts have not been ruled on yet. So this is a weird one because the county seems to be trying to offer a settlement when they've already lost the case. Typically, you don't do a settlement once you've lost, but I suppose you can try anything at any point. They're looking at $100,000 that they want to pay, $36,000 to Dennis Green, that's Jonathan Owens' attorney, $13,000 to Alex Arduini's attorney, and $50,000 in change to the P&J Gannett, a little over $100,000 in total. You have all kinds of problems with this. First of all, the judge is going to issue not only a ruling about how much fees are due, but about any penalties that might be due, for example, specifically the legal staff, because that's part of the anti-slap statute in Florida, is that the lawyers actually wind up on the hook. Second, again, the question of can you have a settlement when the judgment's already been entered. Third, even if they do vote for this, Pam Childers has to authorize the payment. All right, quick pop quiz. John Pickens. Clerk of the court and comptroller for the county, Pam Childers, is she in the habit of agreeing for controversial payments when the county commission votes for them?
I would say no.
The answer is no. The answer is no. In fact, she's already done a shot across the bow to Allison Rogers, the county attorney, who wasn't the named attorney in the case. It was Steve West. But she's basically said, I need an itemized amount of money that was spent on everything surrounding this case because we can't pay for it. You can't pay for it. I can't sign off on a check where you're going to pay for this money because this was legal services rendered for the private benefit of Commissioner Jeff Burgosh. According to the court, according to Pam, and I think her interpretation is right, and so the county can't pay these fees, meaning that even the, like, as an employee hours that, for example, Steve West and a couple of other attorneys in the county worked on this case, including doing the redactions of the disclosed text, the county can't pay for that because it's a personal benefit for Jeff Burgosh. It's not county business. Now, that doesn't put the bill in anybody's hands, but it does mean that the county can't pay those paychecks. Meanwhile, also, you have the question of whether Commissioner Jeff Burgosh is going to have to pay personally for the cost of these things. And she has sent an invoice to him for $39,000 personally because it was a personal benefit. Meanwhile, also, you have three county commissioners, Jeff Burgosh, Stephen Barry, and Lumen May, who all voted to move forward with this case that has now been deemed to be a personal benefit to Jeff Burgosh, not a county business. So under the rules of ethics in the state of Florida, if you use your position as an elected official for the personal gain of yourself or somebody else, it's an ethics violation. Would that catch them all an ethics charge? I don't know. Would it catch them all responsibility for the payments? I don't know. And again, we don't have a ruling from the judge about how much. So a lot of things are up in the air, and I think it's kind of weird and premature that they're trying to have a conversation about dollars at this point, when we don't know what the judge is going to say. So that's going to be a conversation today. 526 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Pensacola, Gary from Warrior Beer Company, inviting you to come out and enjoy great beer, great food, great fun. Warrior Beer Company has Military Open Mic Monday, Trivia Tuesday, Karaoke Wednesdays, Singo Bingo on Thursdays, and live music all weekend. We have 20 different brews and ciders. We are located just west of Blue Angel Parkway on Sereno Road. Always remember, from freedom fighters to everyday warriors, we got your six.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, during our biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls trip moments. Your can't miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Are you in some kind of trouble with the police?
Some things are much better left unsaid.
Like what?
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, the big story today, unfortunately, is the aftermath of that shooting in Georgia at a high school yesterday morning that left two students and two teachers dead. That happened at the Appalachie High School in Winder. That's about 50 miles northeast of Atlanta. Barrow County Sheriff Judd Smith said during a press conference last night that everybody that's injured and at the hospitals, that's 8 students and 1 teacher in the hospitals, are expected to survive. Authorities said yesterday the 14-year-old suspect used an AR-style rifle and apparently surrendered to a resource officer inside of the school. And this coming out last night, federal officials revealed the suspect had made online threats to commit a school shooting in May of last year.
It's a horrible. And it's extra horrible that you feel like maybe there was an opportunity to prevent this. But a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Nine or ten. You know, I mean, I'm thinking like ninth grade. Okay.
I can't imagine what would, at that young of an age, drive you to want to commit something like that. It's
right.
Just terrible.
It doesn't become okay at 16. It's just, you know, I have 3 boys. And, you know, you start thinking about ninth grade, eighth grade, you know, like.
Well, and you think back to when we were younger and this type of stuff just didn't happen at this level.
Right.
And I mean, pre-Columbine, I guess that's kind of when all of it started. But even then, it wasn't even as big, you know, or as common, I should say. You know, it didn't happen as often. So I don't know. 20 people recovering after a crash involving a prisoner transport vehicle in Illinois. Officers responded to that yesterday. Apparently, it was transporting 16 prisoners to a jail and collided with a car. 19 people sent to the hospital in that case.
And none of them had a single arm. No, no. Harrison Ford was not in the group. No doctor.
I don't believe so.
Okay, all right, very good. Just making
sure.
But we'll
verify that Harrison Ford was or was not.
And it was a jail bus, and we just want to make sure that all of our falsely accused people are covered.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The Barrow County School District in Winder, Georgia, closed the rest of the week following a massacre at Appalachie High School. The 14-year-old suspect in custody accused of killing 2 other students and 2 math teachers.
The FBI confirming that the alleged shooter has been on their radar as a possible threat since May 2023. The FBI saying, quote, in May 2023, the FBI received several anonymous tips about online threats to commit a school shooting at an unidentified location and time.
Fox's Brooke Mark Singman. Now, the teen denied making those online threats. The FBI saying there was no probable cause for an arrest. During a town hall on Fox's Hannity, former President Trump ripping his opponent on a critical issue.
She will not allow fracking.
Mr. Trump in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. The two candidates debate next week in Philadelphia. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is 73 degrees, and we've got a couple of showers in portions of the area right now, 73 in Pensacola. Mayor D.C. Reeves will be meeting with ST Engineering to discuss their obligations to the city today. Reeves says he'll be talking with company leaders about their agreements and obligations to hire locally, also about those Chilean workers brought to the area on work visas, then reportedly fired. Many of the Chilean employees said they didn't know if they would be deported after the termination.
I was asked last week, should this be a public meeting? No, it shouldn't be a public meeting. What we're trying to do is get information from them and get an outcome. This is not the same way every time we meet with American Magic, it's not a public meeting. Or if we have an internal issue, it's not a public meeting. You know, we're trying to get something that's a net positive for the community and just make sure that our partners doing what they say they're going to do and see where we stand. And certainly we'll be reporting back to that. And when
that meeting planned for later today. A man has died after a surgical mix-up in Walton County, Alabama's William Bryan died last month during a surgery at Ascension Sacred Heart Emerald Coast in Miramar Beach. He went in to get a spleen removed. Dr. Thomas Shevnosky allegedly removed his liver instead. Bryan's widow, Beverly, has hired a lawyer and plans to sue. Her lawyer says that the client also wants the doctor brought up on criminal charges and the incident currently being investigated by the Walton County Sheriff's Office. Senator Rick Scott says his heart is broken for the families of those killed in Georgia by what he called a deranged monster. Of course, a 14-year-old boy shot to death. Two students, two teachers at Appalachie High School in Winder, Georgia yesterday. Scott wrote on X that he knows from experience with the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting how devastating the grief is and says nobody should have to experience it. A suspect in the murder of Jacksonville rapper Julio Fulio will be locked up until trial. A judge in Tampa yesterday denied bond for Rashad Murphy. Murphy facing charges for the shooting of Julio Fulio back in June. Fulio was in Tampa for a rap performance the day he was shot. Investigators believe the shooting was part of a gang feud. Murphy is the fourth suspect in the case to be denied bond. And it is 5:34 right now. Taking a look at our forecast, it is cloudy and rainy and 73 degrees in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth and innovation. To bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Parrish packages are back, and they're featuring the number one compact tractor in the United States, the Kubota L2502 with quick attach loader, Land Pride 6-foot cutter, and Land Pride 6-foot disc, all for $29,999 cash or as low as $385 a month. Doesn't include tax, fees, or insurance. Plus, you get a free pipe top trailer. Visit them at 6701 Mobile Highway. Parrish Tractor, one of the largest Kubota dealerships in the country. 0% APR financing now through 9/30/24. See them or go to KubotaUSA.com for more information.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Coming up tonight, you can hear the UWF Argo football game at 6 o'clock right here on News Radio 92.3. This is the Argonauts home opener right here on News Radio 92.3. And then beginning September 21st, catch all of their games home and away on our sister station, ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. UWF Argo football is presented by Pan Air Credit Union, Bogies Golf Suites, and ECUA.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and that may sound like the sheriff's music. Oh, we changed all the music. That's DC Reeves music now. No, that's our bad. No big deal. But yesterday we did have a chance to talk to Mayor DC Reeves, who is just back from his trip to Spain and to Europe. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
I'm glad to be back. Yeah, I left on Election Day. It feels like I've been gone a year, but I promise it hasn't been. About 10 days or so.
Hey, good to have you. So I know part of your trip was you wanted to see the Seminoles game for the first game of the season over in Europe. So congratulations on your Seminoles' fine performance in the first 2 weeks of the season.
Well, no one can question my loyalty, at least. they might be able to after the first two games of the season. I don't know how many more I'll be watching at this rate, but I got a lot of things to do around here. I can't be wasting 3 hours and giving myself that kind of stress.
You could be attending like affordable housing committee meetings and anything
harder,
but watching the Seminoles lose.
Yeah.
Well, so exactly. No, how was the trip? Seriously, I mean, you were obviously over there partly for fun, but also partly for business because American Magic is competing in a variety of regattas in Barcelona, Spain. And I don't know, what did you see? What did you learn? What was it like to see that beautiful Pensacola insignia flying on the sail?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, yeah, the first part was just for fun, but the second part was great, really for lots of reasons. One, to be able to, connect with the team ownership, which, of course, they don't live in Pensacola. I don't get to do that as often. So I had a great conversation with Doug DeVos. Also, get the team leadership. Remember, they've been over, it feels like yesterday, but they've been over there for a year and a half, since they've left Pensacola, all our team members and all that. They have 160 people on base right now. And then third, what was really interesting is I got to see their base there, which is temporary in nature, but it's probably as close to a smaller one of what the permanent headquarters will look like. So to get to see that in person, and we're just pointing out, hey, that 3D printer's coming with us, all those sales, this mezzanine, even some of the items that'll be coming to Pensacola. That was cool to see, kind of see it in real life and not on a drawing. So, but it's awesome. I mean, I tell folks all the time, you go see the operation of American Magic, you can't oversell it. Like the technology, the manpower, I would say the best sports apples to apples would be running probably one and a half or two F1 games. That's what it reminds me of in terms of like how immersed in all the technology and innovation that goes into the project.
Well, I mean, you name dropped the DeVos, but I mean, that's the Amway family. These are billionaires. They own the Heat or the Magic, sorry, Magic, right? Anyway, sailing at this level is a billionaire's game. And clearly that level of technology is evident. And, one of the things I think that the sort of average people, myself included, what has captivated us about the American Magic concept in Pensacola was maybe we can get the World Cup here. Or the America's Cup here.
Right.
Just getting the team here with the technology and the jobs and the opportunity to cultivate other teams and to be a teaching facility, like, that's the story. If we never get anything else, that's still a great story.
Absolutely. And again, it's very real that you talk to team members, they love Pensacola. That was kind of the cool part. It kind of, telling me, I won't say who, but in confidence, like, man, we're ready to get over to back home, to Pensacola. Yeah. They've been in Barcelona for a year and a half. And whether it's manufacturing, I mean, there's so many opportunities outside of just the front-facing sailing tournament. There's so many opportunities to help boost our community. That's what I love about this project. It really is amazing. And they're excited to be back. We're certainly excited to have them. And you know what? If we could host an America's Cup, it would only be the biggest event in 500 years here.
No, I'm hopeful, obviously, and they've had a bit of a mixed record, but at this point, it's mostly avoiding elimination, and we'll obviously see what happens in the future. One couple of notes I want to talk about the airport for a second. One thing is, I really like the Get Smart doors, the exit lane that you now go through, the series of open and close and shut right behind you doors. I love it. That seems to be a very efficient, whereas the other system, the walking around and the windy corridor. That seemed to be inefficient. This seems to be more secure, and this will create space for the queuing line for TSA, right?
Sorry, say that one more time.
This is more efficient, more secure, and it'll create queuing space for the TSA line.
Right, yes, exactly. Well, and like everything else, it's more expensive than you would ever imagine doors would be.
Right.
It's going to create more space, make it easier getting in and out. I forget the exact number Matt tells me, but how many thousands of people it can get through in an hour. And then all the crazy technology you need in an airport, like throwing an item. If someone was trying to throw an item into the secure area, all the technology that goes with those doorways. I learned a lot about it when I saw them install it. And it's something you may not notice when you go through, but you're safer because of it. It's easier. And like you said, probably most importantly, front facing to the citizen is more room for TSA to get their job done.
I really do think, though, that the theme music playing while you're in the corridor should be the Get Smart music. And if you don't do that, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, we can do that.
Good news. I had great experiences at the airport. Bad news. I saw all the trees missing at the airport. We knew this was coming. I know buildings cost trees. I get it. But what has been done, or what is there offsets? Is this the tree planting trust fund? Like, all of the trees that went away around the new parking area, around the new ST projects, the storage facilities that were torn down. When you drive 12th Avenue now, it just looks like a hurricane came through. What's been done or is going to be done to, replant, replace, shift elsewhere? Tell me what's happening here.
Yeah, so obviously that's a process that took place years and years ago, right? When the agreement came through for Hangar 3, and I believe you probably be more on top of it at that time than I was of, with all the property acquisition that took place back there to have the property to put the hangars, in the mid 2010s.
Right.
That was, like you said, it was a long time coming. But I don't know that we're going back there and saying, hey, this tree down, this tree up. But what I'll say as a whole is, we've done everything that we can. Number one, I thought a big step in this administration was actually spending tree trust fund money. We used to argue about it a lot and not spend any of it. And so we've started that process. And secondly, we got the biggest tree grant in the history of the city, about $1 million for urban forestry that allows us to use it more specific to lower income areas that lack tree canopy and shade when they walk or bike to work or to a playground. We certainly have, I would say, not dependent upon what you're speaking of in the specific project. We certainly are motivated and have been proactive in trying to do everything that we can to build up our tree canopy across the city. As it pertains to the agreement and how all that operated when trees went down, that is nothing that's ever hit my desk. And I don't even know that it was Mayor Robinson's. I would have to go back and look. It's been quite a while since that decision was made.
I think what it was is, and again, there's nothing to be done about it now particularly, and I think it was just more of a shock to me, even though I knew it was coming, to see all three of those projects simultaneously remove so many of these gorgeous trees. And what I was also thinking is, like, you know, when Baptist built their hospital, they built it around the two groves. And when Ascension Sacred Heart did their medical facility down south of there just a block or two, they kept one line of trees on 12th Avenue. And I guess I was kind of hoping that something more like that had happened, which, of course, it didn't. It was totally clear cut. I did have listeners suggest, though, that maybe the giant blank space that's going to be the side of buildings 3 and 4 eventually seems like an opportunity for a mural space that would be publicly visible, maybe even paintings of trees. You know, it's not as good as real trees, but it might be something. So that might be something to pursue long term. You're meeting with ST, but you're meeting tomorrow, right? So we won't know anything until after that meeting about the Chilean workers and other concerns about local hires and all that.
Right, exactly. And again, I want to reshift focus. There's conjecture out there about, well, I thought this and then I changed my mind. What I'm hyper-focused on with ST is, what are your obligations to do what you say you're going to do? Where does that stand, and where do we need to be in workforce development as a community? That's what I'm focused on. This is not, I was asked last week, should this be a public meeting? No, it shouldn't be a public meeting. What we're trying to do is get an outcome, get information from them and get an outcome. This is not the same way every time we meet with American Magic, it's not a public meeting. Or if we have an internal issue, it's not a public meeting. You know, we're trying to get something that's a net positive for the community, and just make sure that our partners doing what they say they're going to do and see where we stand. And certainly we'll be reporting back to that. And when there's public comment, needed on the topic, certainly there's already been a lot of public comment. And I'm sure we'll continue to have public conversation about the project moving forward.
I already know there are going to be things we're not going to get to today, but I did have two that I wanted to try to get to. One is the old medical facility on Palafox. That had come kind of in the news as a being for sale. Is there any interest? What's the future of that property? Because that's just been sitting there blighted for as long as I've lived here, 10 years.
Yeah, well, it's the unfortunate situation where an out-of-town buyer buys a property and then is now, has the gall to market it as, well, the city's about to put a bunch of money into Hollis C. Williams, and that's why it's worth all this money. So what I can tell you today is it's in violation of code, and I don't know what the fines are or what the because plywood and broken windows is not a permanent fix. That's a temporary fix. So I do know it's out of compliance with code. That doesn't mean anything for the sale. And certainly, we're looking at our dollars for the grant that with the $30 million we got for Hollis C. Williams does allow us to acquire things. So I would never say never about anything, but not at the exorbitant price that's being listed now. So I know there's been conversations over the years with this buyer, and the price has fluctuated wildly. If we get to something reasonable or within reason, certainly I'd entertain it. But we're looking at other surrounding property, potential expansion of the lake there, the pond, mm-hmm. Long Hollow, and we'll see what happens.
Last of the substantial question for the day is HCA Florida West Hospital has built a new parking structure. I think we're the first to report on it. When you drive up University, you can't miss it. It's giant. It's 6 stories tall. It's going to have 600 new spaces. It's all going to be free, some for public, some for doctors, some for employees. But 600 spaces, and the price tag is $26 million. And when you do the math, that's $43,000 a space. That's 50% more than even the $30,000 sticker shock that you guys had been bandying about for a while. What does that price tag mean for the future of any parking structure anywhere near downtown?
Yeah, I said earlier, no price surprises you anymore. That's an outrageous number. But I'll tell you where we are is we're looking at, I believe I'll have something on my desk in October that we're going to hire a firm to give us kind of a feasibility study of a potential downtown garage and multiple sets or locations, sizes, would there be first floor retail, on the front, which would obviously add to the expense or not. So we're going to kind of, get some experts in the room and kind of say, all right, well, this is what a potential garage downtown would look like. And truly, it's not, I know it sounds convenient on the parking topic, we wouldn't be having this conversation if there wasn't real revenue coming from parking. So, this that allows us to start having conversations. And so that's happening now, you know, in terms of just really, I hate to call it a feasibility study. It's a little more detailed than that, but it's kind of a feasibility slash schematic study about what a garage downtown will look.
But I just couldn't believe that number, $43,000 of space. It's just, it's just unbelievable.
I can't.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we always like to end off with a lightning round. Quick questions for you. When you're texting, are you two thumbs, index finger, two index finger, or as some monsters do it, one index finger and one thumb?
I think I'm a single thumb.
One thumb. Okay.
One eye on the screen and one eye on the other screen.
I gotcha. Swimming, essential skill or nice skill to have?
I mean, I grew up in Perdido Key. I think it's an essential. It's absolutely essential, isn't it? Is it nice to have?
I tend to think so as well, but this, we talked about it because not everybody can swim, obviously. And then the last one is, tell me something like ranch or barbecue or whatever that you always try to get the last little tiny bit of out of the container because you feel like they're robbing you if you don't get it all.
Yeah, you know, I've been tried and true 40 years now, or I guess maybe 36 years now of, fast food chicken is barbecue always. No deviations, maybe a little buffalo sauce, but barbecue sauce would definitely be everything you can get out of the little square container.
Okay, so you're scraping the container out with the chicken or the whatever it is that you would dip in it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Be honest, you're in public right now. If there's a little left after you got the chicken done, do you lick in there?
Depends on how hungry I am.
that's a man's answer. I'll take that. That's allowable.
I'll never say never, but I would say it's unlikely.
People found it a little bit weird that I sometimes lick the butter wrapper after I unroll the stick of butter. But, you know, everybody's got their thing. Mayor D.C. Reese, the mayor of Pensacola, we'll talk to you again next week. Sir, as always, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it. Always 5:52 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, butter liquor. you still can't believe that's true.
That's you. No, I was telling Brandon as we were waiting
Your
on the
son
bus.
At the cool, yeah.
Yeah, I was telling him, get this. I was like, picture a stick of butter, and I was like, you know, told him where it was. Oh, okay, yeah. So you put it in the pot or whatever you're doing with it.
Well, in the butter storage device, right?
Yeah, there's residual left.
There's a little bit left.
Right.
Why waste good butter?
And I was like, do you know what Andrew does? And he was like, no. I was like, he licks the butter off the paper.
And you're just jealous you didn't think of it. He thought it was super weird.
Yeah, he was like.
You know what my mom always did?
What?
My mom always used that to grease the pan. You use the butter wrapper to do the...
Now, see, that's a better use for it.
It is.
But you like the salt and...
I'd rather spray the pan with Pam and lick the butter. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, sometimes local, and dependable. If you're 64, turn 65, or you're retiring, okay, you're going to switch over onto Medicare. And you might... It can produce some apprehension, okay? It's very normal for you to feel that way because you've been doing insurance one way your whole life, and all of a sudden you're going to do it a different way. But trust me, you know, tens of millions of people before you have done this, it's going to be okay. But you may have questions. You know, what's a supplement? How does this deal with prescription drugs? What's Advantage? What's Medicaid? Is Medicaid the same as Medicare? They're not spelled the same. Are they the same? Does it apply to me? And you start to have enough questions where you're like, plus... To make matters worse, there might be people calling you, there might be people sending you letters, making it sound confusing and difficult, and it really isn't. It's very easy. But if it's new to you, then, you know, it can be off-putting. I've got a good friend, Ricky Stewart, known her as long as we've lived here. Her whole family does insurance, and she does this one slice. She helps people get converted over onto Medicare. It's very easy. She'll answer your questions and sit down with you. 341-2185. Look her up online, Ricky Stewart Insurance.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. At New South Window, we bring the factory to you. Our windows and doors are made with quality in mind, and your products and insulation are backed by our lifetime warranty. That's because New South Window knows the importance of single source accountability. We believe in removing the middleman so you get more for your money. This is real factory direct. One company, one call, guaranteed for life. Get New South proud.
For a limited time only, when you buy more, you can save more. Visit NewSouthWindow.com to learn more.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and an encore hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Here's a device to slide through time. The longer I travel, the harder it is to control. I got two charges, one to get me here, one to get me home.
Well, that's just lazy writing.
Good morning, 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Thursday to you. It's dark out. It seems like it ought to be light by now. I mean, I don't know. We're going into daylight saving, unsaving, whatever it is soon. You know, I never feel quite sure about when the lights begin, because sometimes it's before the show, during the show, late in the show. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Hunter Biden's federal tax evasion trial starts today in Los Angeles. Hunter is accused of failing to pay more than $1 million in federal taxes between 2016 and 2019. He'll be in the courtroom for the first day of jury selection. Of course, back in June, he was found guilty on felony gun charges in Delaware. President Biden speaking out after the school shooting in Georgia yesterday, when a 14-year-old student entered Appalachie High School and killed two students and two teachers, sent nine others to the hospital. The president releasing a statement saying he and his family are mourning the deaths. Bad weather got in the way of SpaceX's plans again this week. The company had to move yesterday's launch from Cape Canaveral to this afternoon because of unfavorable conditions. They plan to send up that batch of nearly two dozen more Starlink satellites today.
Hey, if it weren't for Starlink, we wouldn't have been on the air from the McCool. I mean, that's what we used to get, you know, through the miracle of modern technology to hear out to the radio transmitter so that people could hear that show live from the ship. So I'm a fan.
Absolutely.
It works really, really well.
It's amazing how well they can do that.
It really is kind of amazing. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 5:59 News Radio 92.3. Big county commission meeting today. We'll talk about that soon enough.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.